is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The leak, the damaging leak. As Reuters presents, U.S. officials review Intel sharing after damaging leak. Intel sharing is a privilege, especially for nations included in the general understanding of Five Eyes. I go to one of those nations right now. My colleague and friend Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, is in Australia, Perth, Australia, which is the city closest to Fremantle, which is the city closest to the future basing of AUKUS events into the 21st century and beyond. Right now, however, we're in 2023, and the scale of the leak of documents still unchecked. We do not have any reason to believe it's over. The scale of this grows with headlines. I go immediately to Gregory because Australia mentioning that it would like to be briefed on these matters. That's 24 hours ago. Gregory, a very good day to you in Perth. Is there a sense that the Albanese government is annoyed, irritated, wants to learn more? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, the Albanese government clearly wants answers about the leak, and that's just common business practice, if you like. But Prime Minister Albanese has doubled down on the commitment to AUKUS and said that even if the Labor Party did not win elections in the next 3 to 4 years, Australia would be committed to staying within AUKUS, which is all well and good because AUKUS actually does a lot for Australia, the United States and the United Kingdom in technology sharing and in strategic operational coordination. However, the Albanese government itself is going to have to answer some questions pretty soon because the left wing of the Labor Party is pushing to accommodate Beijing in other areas, such as joining a regional nuclear non-proliferation pact, which would essentially be at odds with AUKUS. So leaks of that proposed Australian involvement in an anti-nuclear movement have been surfacing in the left-wing newspapers, such as the Sydney Morning Herald, for example. But by and large, Australia's concerned, yes, about the leaks from the Five Eyes network. Initially, it was inferred by or implied by the United States that this was Russian disinformation, that favorite excuse, then that it had somehow leaked out through U.S. allies. But now it's pretty widely accepted that whether some or all of the report were valid and probably came out of a U.S. sources, and there are good reasons why it did. It shows the great divisions which are emerging in Washington between the White House and State Department on the one hand, which have sought to actively escalate and promote Ukraine's war against Russia, where Washington is prepared to fight to the last U.S. dollar and the last Ukrainian young man and woman. And the Pentagon and others on Capitol Hill, who really have had enough of the diversion of U.S. strategic prioritization and defense equipment and budget to this transatlantic operation when they know that this attention should be placed on the Indo-Pacific and reinforcing U.S. and allied capabilities to constrain and contain Beijing, particularly at this time when the People's Republic of China is moving heavily to intimidate the Republic of China on Taiwan. And it's clear that the officials within Washington are sufficiently disturbed by the commander-in-chief's insistence on attacking Russia through Ukraine that they've leaked this material. So that shows the extent of dissension within the policy community in Washington, D.C., and this is something which Washington's allies are taking into account.
Let me go through some of the items I have from these are random press reports, Reuters, The New York Times, Washington Post, Financial Times. We will get more. For example, there is said to be among these 50 pages, according to the FT, a briefing in briefing slides as if to a senior official. There's said to be mention of South Korea hesitating about shipping ammo to Ukraine. There's said to be concern about all the efforts directed at Ukraine because of the needs of NATO and the needs of Asia, which you mentioned, Gregory. In particular, there's mention of Israel, there's mention of South Korea, there's mention of Canada, there's mention of Australia, certainly mention of NATO repeatedly. So there doesn't seem to be any single pattern, but in there you can find, as you analyze, doubts. Now, I need to know what is normal. Five Eyes, your experience over many decades, is Five Eyes something where there is routinely dissent and debate, or is this a one-way street when Washington says it, everybody falls in line? What is the regular order of Five Eyes?
Well, Five Eyes is normally a peer-to-peer sharing operation of raw and processed intelligence between the United States, United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. Some of this has been cut back in recent years because of the distrust that some of the Five Eyes members have felt about Canada and New Zealand. But this is a short-term thing. Essentially, Five Eyes hasn't been so much a vehicle for debate or dissent among the members, nor has it been proven to be a great tool to unify the thinking. We see that all the Five Eyes members have different ideas about almost everything. You could argue that it was only the creation of AUKUS, three of the Five Eyes members, which created a rump where there was some unity of action and unity of thought. But by and large, we still have to see Five Eyes as a more or less moribund intelligence exchange organization, which is feeding vast volumes of data between the members, but not a lot of policy-level analysis and understanding, which helps to shape the five allies in a way which sees coordination of action.
The documents also, again, these are summary of what people are reading into the documents, and we do not presume the documents have stopped. What is striking is some of these are photographs of hard copy, which may have been generated to avoid detection online. If you issued the digital copy, there are more trademark footprints than a hard copy. But in any event, pointing to right now a shortage of ammo in Ukraine. What is striking about this is we already knew that, Gregory. We knew there's a shortage of ammo, not only in Ukraine, but in the U.S. and NATO in general, but particularly a shortage of air defense ammo. Does this tell us anything about the nature of this leaker? What I'm thinking of is does this rise to the level of the Pentagon Papers in 1971, which was a blow to the Nixon administration's intention for Vietnamization?
Well, as we've seen with Washington in the recent few years, almost nothing will shake the indifference of the administration, whether it was the Pentagon Papers or something similar to it. In reality, yes, this document does present a horrifying list of deficiencies within the United States and the alliance structure, not just in the supply of ammunition, which is critical, but it shows why, different from the Pentagon Papers in the Vietnam War, this shows why concerned senior defense officials are worried that they will not have enough capability to face down the People's Republic of China in its escalation against Taiwan. And it's quite clear that similarly that U.S. officials are concerned for the Republic of Korea, which is fighting to build up its defense capabilities in the clear knowledge that if Beijing moves ahead at any level against Taiwan, we will see a parallel escalation by North Korea against South Korea. South Korea has to have a massive backlog, or massive supply available of ordnance to fight any North Korean incursion which might occur across the DMZ or in any other area, whether it's a missile attack, a naval attack, or coordinated attacks. So South Korea has to distance itself from the incredibly short-sighted Biden administration attempts to draw the Koreans and the Japanese and the Indians into supporting the Biden White House's war against Russia through Ukraine. South Korea cannot afford to get engaged in that, and neither can any of the other U.S. allies. And I think, we can get into this when we talk about China, but I think that the French are panicking a little bit on this score as well. They need to see the Russia-Ukraine situation wound down, because Macron has made it quite clear that France can't get engaged against China whilst this Ukraine war is underway.
Here's a twist on you're mentioning South Korea. We're just looking over the scale of these documents, and we find in Bloomberg, this is the London Times within hours, Pentagon Papers leaked. Pentagon Papers leaked documents are fake, South Korea insists. Seoul says U.S. spying claims is not true after files appeared on social media. This is London reporting. South Korea has strongly denied suggestions that the United States has been spying on the office of its president, Yoon Suk-yeol, as the diplomatic fallout from an alleged leak of classified Pentagon documents continues. Gregory, applying the standard of who benefits, China benefits from this, correct? What I just read, doubts.
No question about it. No question about it. And Washington should be using its utmost care right now to calm down any suggestion that it is hostile to, or distrustful of, or forcing the hand of South Korea's new president. That would be fatal to the great U.S. need to build a coordinated front against Beijing. But you get the feeling that the Biden White House and State Department don't seem to care about that. They're fighting tactical battles when there's a great need for a strategic framework to be built and strengthened. And you've got countries like Canada, for example, who, although a member of Five Eyes, the only area of support which Biden has in continuing to promote the Ukraine war. And that's largely because the Deputy Prime Minister, Chrystia Freeland, is of Ukrainian extraction and is xenophobically anti-Russian, and she doesn't care about Beijing. And by the way, neither does Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
Right now, Gregory, because we're inside this, what is the major concern that intelligence agencies would have at this point? To stop the leak, to find out who did it, to do a battlefield assessment? How are they thinking now, in your experience?
Well, one thing about the White House, which will insist on conducting the oversight for this investigation, is that they'll be concerned with trying to find and destroy the leakers of these documents. But the reality is that they should recognize that, it, taken in their totality, these documents spell out some strategic realities which do not favor a continued U.S. or Western support for Ukraine in the war against Russia, especially when there are more serious strategic issues to be tackled. But the question is whether the Biden White House can get itself out of this situation now, because clearly something has to be done. A settlement has to be achieved. And that's what these documents spell out and clearly show that a lot of U.S. and Western defense and intelligence officials feel that the time has come for negotiation on Ukraine, a settlement on Ukraine. That's something which President Biden does not want at any cost and doesn't care the cost it will also impose on Ukraine if it doesn't occur. So, yes, you've also got President Zelensky of Ukraine against a settlement at this stage, because he knows that he's out of a job and possibly could face life-threatening consequences if the situation reached a stalemate or a settlement at this point. But the documents point to the reality, and this, by the way, has been mirrored to me by a lot of Five Eyes, very, very, very senior defense officials in recent days, that the end of the war is visible,
right.
And that is with the existing territorial regions remaining as they are, Russia retaining access to the Black Sea, retaining the Donbass and the links down to Crimea, and retaining, as I say, its warm water capabilities through the Black Sea, and the rest of Ukraine falling where it may. And the question is, how do we shape that reality so that all parties save face in settling for apparently less than they wanted to settle for?
Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs, an update on Nigeria next. I'm John Bradshaw.